Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Right around this time last year, we were getting ready to close on our new church building. Now, it was a hectic time, full of unknowns, and yet as a leadership team, we decided that we're going to pray about it. We're going to seek wise counsel, and we chose to move forward with buying a church building. And I know what you're asking, like, who buys a church building in a pandemic when you can't meet in person? You literally can't use it. Well, the same people that build an ark when there was no rain, God's people. And that was our prayer, that we can be an ark, that we can be a place of safety, a place of refuge, a place of salvation for our community during this crazy storm. And let me tell you, it was exciting. Our dream came true. God answered our prayers. And I remember walking through the building and sure, we saw the things that we needed to work on, but we were able to dream about what this building could become. And then things got real because we had our inspection. And of course, the inspection came back and the roof needed to be replaced and the sewer system needed to be replaced. And there was electrical work that needed to be done. And it was fun. I mean, it got real, but, you know, we had the money for it. We knew that we were going to have to invest in it in order to renovate it, to make it look and feel and function the way we wanted it to look and feel and function. So we went ahead and we hired an architect. And the architect is responsible for drawing up the plans for the renovation. And then we hired a builder. And my boy Larry, he came in and helped us because he's the one that's going to execute the plans that the architect has drawn up. And so we got the plans ready. And after going back and forth with the city, we had to change some things around. We had to add a sprinkler system. It took about 10 months before we were finally able to start the construction process. And the first part of the process, it's called demolition. You go in and you tear down everything that we're not going to keep, right? And everything that is that we need to throw out in order to build what we want to build. And y'all know how excited I was about that. I mean, y'all remember this video. I'm in there. I said, hey, look, you know, the pews were gone. And it was so exciting what was happening. And, you know, after that, came back, and week after week, there was more that had been destroyed. And that's where we are now. And let me tell you, even though the building is in shambles right now, I mean, there's holes in the ground. There's like all kinds of stuff, rooms that have been gutted. There's dust everywhere. I'm excited, even though it's like a pile of rubble. I am excited because I know that things need to be torn down so that we can build them up in the way that we want it to be. Anybody that has seen or overseen a renovation project knows that the process isn't pretty, but the results are beautiful. And now that we're able to see the progress, the finish line seems a little bit closer. And when we cross that finish line, we know that the goal and the prayer and the hope is that our building will never be the same and our community will never be the same. Now, going through the process, let me tell you, it's got me thinking about some of the spiritual implications of renovation. The word itself, renovate, it's derived from the Latin verb novar, meaning to make new. And I got to thinking, isn't that what God wants to do with us? Does he not want to make us new? Does he not want to take the old parts and throw those out and build us up the way he wants us to be, the way he envisioned us to be? Does he not dream for us? He does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." God wants to make us new. He wants to renovate our heart and our mind and our soul. And I can tell you, that's what God has done for me and with me and continues to do through me. You know, it's only fitting that we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ today on Easter Sunday, because it's actually his resurrection that leads to renovation. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." This scripture teaches us that the resurrection isn't just something to be celebrated, it's something to be experienced. So through baptism, that's when we are united with Christ. We get to participate in his death, burial, and resurrection. That's when we are in Christ. That's when we are made new. That's when we get to experience our own renovation. You know, this past week, I celebrated 18 years since I became a disciple of Jesus Christ, 18 years since I was baptized into Christ, my rebirth, my spiritual birthday, the day I was reborn, born again. And I remember how God renovated my heart. And it started with an inspection, just like with the building. He went in there and he used the word to inspect my heart. It says that the scriptures, they judge the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. And so that's what he started doing. He started walking around my life, pointing out the things that needed to change. And that was humbling, showing me those things. And then he showed me also what it would cost. And so he wanted to make sure that he knew the price attached to that, because there were some things that I would have to give up and I had to count the cost. But once I agreed, he took me through the process of demolition, destroying the idols in my life, the things that were more important to me than my relationship with him. My goals and my dreams, relationships, money, right? Success, status, all these things that were more important, those had to be tore down. Because if they were not tore down and replaced with him, those were the things that would ultimately lead to my eternal destruction. Now, it's in that part of the process that it felt like my life was in shambles. There were holes in the ground and there was rooms that were completely gutted, dust everywhere in my life. But God looked at me and he was excited. He was excited. And we should be too during that time of the process, because he doesn't just see the rubble. He sees renovation. He sees what he had in store for us before we were even created and brought to life. And even though the process isn't pretty, the results are beautiful. You know, after the demolition, he started to build me back up, and he started by laying the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And he laid that foundation that would not be shaken, the one that would not be broken down by the storms. And then brick by brick, he started laying down the convictions that I would need to live out my faith for the rest of my life. And it was tough. I had to unlearn some things. I had to relearn some things, of how to love and how to treat others. I had to learn about how to make decisions and how to conduct myself. It was hard. The renovation process is not easy, but I did it. Why did I do it? Because before he started his work on me, he showed me the plans that he had for my life. Plans, that were good, that wanted to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope and a future. And he knew that once he showed me those plans, that I would seek after him and I would pray to him and I would want a relationship with him no matter what it took to get there. And I remember that renovation process, it had to begin with the architect showing me those plans. Just like with the building, we had to work it through with Kevin to show us what it was going to look like. And then it's the builder that he jumps in, right? And he starts getting the work done. I thought that was interesting because in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10, God is described as both the architect and the builder. That means that God, not only does God make those plans, not only does he create the plans for our lives, but he himself executes them. Now, who else would you rather be the architect and builder for your life? Who else would you rather have? Surely not yourself. I know for me, I'm broken. I'm frail. I got a lot of weaknesses. I don't have what it takes to be the architect and builder of my life. My knowledge and my wisdom is so limited. I only have what he has given me. Why not give the keys to him? Why not hire God as our architect and builder? Have you done that yet? Today is a great day to do that. Today is a great day to say, God, I need you. I want your plans. Your plans are better than mine. And I want you to execute those plans in my life. Now, how do we find out about those plans? We got to get into the Word of God. They're clear in the Bible what he has in store for us. And it's okay if you don't understand it. It's okay if you have questions. God is going to help you understand. If you seek, you will find. But also, we're here to help you every step along the way. Because once you understand the incredible plan he has for your life, then you can count the cost on the renovation process that is to come. Like I said yes to that renovation process 18 years ago, but I'm still going through renovation now. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 says, therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. What does that mean? That means though, even though we go through our challenges, through our struggles, though on the outside we're wasting away, through God's power, we can be made new every single day. What does it mean to be made new? To be renovated. God is constantly working on us. God is constantly helping us to become more like Jesus Christ. And the thing I learned about being in the process of renovation that we will be in until we get to heaven, what I've learned is that God doesn't want us to wait till we're perfect or we got everything together, till we're at a certain place or look a certain way before he can use us. He wants us to use us. He wants to use us along the way. He wants to use us right now. You know, just yesterday we were able to put together and execute a vaccine drive for the community in our church parking lot. Man, sure, the building's not done. The building's still in the process, but we use what we had to serve others and we made the most of it. Serve in the process. Dream in the process. Bring people with you in the process. Let them see the process that you're going through. It may be exactly what they need for their own renovation process. You know, that vaccine drive was an impossible prayer. It wasn't even really supposed to happen. It was a group of people who just decided they were going to dream, and then everything started materializing in like the last week and a half. It was crazy. Roland, our brother Roland, had a connection in Douglasville, and he heard about vaccines that were being given out at Tito's Lounge, out of all places. And honestly, we were laughing about it. Like, who's going to get vaccines at Tito's Lounge? But we found out that was an initiative to help people in the community to come get vaccinated, to have a place where they can come get vaccinated. And we met the pharmacist, Brian, who was supplying the vaccines. And we talked to him. And through that relationship, Brian said, you know what? I'll bring out the vaccines. You guys want to do a vaccine drive? I'll bring them out to your church. And that is exactly what happened. Leading up to Medical Week, Governor Kemp decides that he's going to open it up for everybody over 16 to be able to get the vaccine. I got to speak to our city council member, Andrea Boone, for our district and told her about it. She was excited. She shared it with her constituents. She shared it on her Facebook page. And we have what we were able to accomplish yesterday for God. We're still in the process, and yet God is using us. I want you to understand that even though you're in the process, God can still use you. And at the same time, even though we're in the process, we can still look forward to what God is going to do in the future. You know, if anybody knows me, I can tend to be a dreamer. And I like to tell people what God has put on my heart because it makes me kind of step out in faith. And, you know, when it comes to this building, now there was two things. There's been two things that I've been praying about. One, when we first started the process, I was like, God, I don't just want this to be about us. When we have our housewarming party for the church home, I want us to celebrate a housewarming party for a single mom. Wouldn't it be awesome if we're able to provide housing for a single mom, maybe provide housing for her and her family for a year just to help her get on her feet? And that was just an impossible prayer. And me and my wife, and we decided to put some money aside just in faith to say, man, if anything, we're going to be able to provide a month's rent, right? And we'll see where God provides the rest. And we didn't know how that would materialize, but we've been praying about it. The other thing that we've been praying about recently is the school that's across the street. Y'all know that we love to partner with schools in the community so we can serve the students and the faculty and the families, right? And then when we got into the building, we realized that that school is not open. They've shipped those students out to Harper Archer Elementary, and now it's a janitorial training location, right? And so I've been praying, like, what could God do if we had access to that building? It was an impossible prayer. And those were the two things that even though we're in the renovation process for our church, we're still dreaming about for the future. So fast forward to breakfast with Governor Kemp. We were invited to go meet the governor, to go to the mansion, and it was about 10 of us that were there, and we got to talk at length about some of the most important issues going on in our state, including voting rights, and we got to express to him how we felt, what our convictions were, and we had a great discussion in that regard. It was good to have a seat at the table and to know that at least we got a chance to share our conviction. Now, the other thing, they were looking to partner with folks on community initiatives. And so we were able to just start the relationship, right? But while we were there, Dr. Patterson and I were sitting there, and there was a gentleman to Dr. Patterson's left. And after the meeting, he came up to me and said, hey, I heard you say that you bought a church building on the west side off Bolton Road. Where off Bolton Road? I said, 745, right across the, he cut me off, said, right across from G.A. Towns Elementary. I said, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to a meeting right after this one with some community leaders and city officials to talk about how we can transform that school and use it as a community center. I about fell out, y'all. I couldn't believe it. Just that night, the night before, I had sent an email to the board chair for the Board of Education for Atlanta Public Schools. Just emailing Jason Estevez, hey, Jason, listen, we bought this building. Just want to know what your plans are for this school. We want to start the discussion. And the very next day, we meet this gentleman, Kenneth Hill. And he tells me about that. I said, okay, so that's amazing. I was just praying about that. And he gives me his card. I look at the card. It says Launching Pad Foundation. I said, Kenny, what is the Launching Pad Foundation? Tell me about your organization. He said, we help single moms find housing. I said, you help who? I could not believe those words came out of his mouth. The two things that I had been praying about, in one moment, God showed me that he had already gone ahead of us. He had already been working on this. And this is how we had an opportunity to partner with God and with others to what he's already doing. So Mr. Hill goes on and tells me the story. He had been with Home Depot for 30 years, and he decided that during the recession, he was able to buy a row of townhouses off MLK, and he started renovating those townhouses and helping to renovate the neighborhood there. And once they were done, he went in and he did the final walkthrough, and he prayed, God, what do you want me to do with these townhouses now? I mean, do you want me to sell them? Do you want me to rent them out? God, what is it that you want me to do? And God said, in the same way you renovated these townhouses, I want you to use these townhouses to renovate other people. Wow. I was blown away. I love that. And so that's where the idea came to serve single moms. And he didn't know. He said, I didn't know what I was doing, but I started telling my friends, and my friends started volunteering their gifts and talents. So his CPA friend said, I'll give them financial literacy. His attorney friend says, I'll help them with entrepreneurship. He had a friend that's an interior designer who said, I will furnish these homes for free. He said he had them looking like the Westin. And then that same interior designer had a connection at the women's shelter where they were able to go in and find the women who wanted to change their lives. And that's where the Launching Pad Foundation started. And ever since then, for years, they've been able to take these single moms and their families through this process of renovation and be able to give them this time to work on themselves so they can be successful as they move forward in life. Isn't that what it's all about? God wants to use our renovation to help renovate the lives of other people. So who are we helping? How are we using what God is doing in us to help others? That's what it's all about. Jesus died, was buried, resurrected, came to life again so that we can have new life and along the way be able to help others have new life. I hope and pray that this, I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I hope that today is a pivotal point for your renovation process. I hope that the resurrection of Christ will bring about a new season in your life, a season of new hopes and new dreams and new aspirations, a season where you're using your process, your own renovation to help others be made new in Christ. At this time, we're going to take this moment as we take communion to remember Jesus, to not only remember his death, but to remember his resurrection and dream about what God can do through our resurrection. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you that you don't leave us where we are, God, that you have a plan to make us new. You have a plan to make us more like your son, Jesus Christ. And you have a plan for us to help others along the way. Thank you, God, that we're not out here making stuff up as we go. The blueprint's already been set. And it's in your word, God. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for the security that we have in you. I thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. I thank you that you allowed your son to die, but also to be brought back to life, to resurrect, to give us hope, to give us our future, to help us understand that we can participate in that same process, God, and not just for our good, for the good of others, God. And I pray that you will use us individually and you will use us as a church, God, to help others in their own renovation process, God. God, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.